It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here on this rather dreary Saturday, as always. Not the dreary, the be here.
Yeah, actually, Saturdays have been pretty nice lately.
Yeah, they actually have been. But there's one thing I did enjoy this morning when I went out and had to duck raindrops for a while. But there was a little chill in the air.
Yeah, it's been like that for 2 days now, and I'm definitely enjoying it. You don't walk outside and immediately start sweating.
Exactly. So we can all rest assured that we will get an autumn. It technically starts on the 22nd, but I would say we're headed into it in a real nice fashion. So can't wait. We pay dearly for our good times here, but then the good times far outnumber the bad times, and it's well worth it. Spoken from many years of, shall we say, contrary information. You know, 41 years in Wisconsin. Can't tell you what this time of year did to your psyche back up there. This is when you start to feel good here. That's when you start to feel bad there.
Yeah, it's true. I don't miss it at all.
Pretty good move, I'd say. Anyway, those of you who are regulars, welcome back. Hope you can stick around for the whole hour. And if you're new to the show because you accidentally found it, or if you have been told about it or anything like that, then, again, try to stick around for the whole hour. We promise you a couple of things. One will be that you'll learn something. No matter how useful or useless it might be, you'll still learn something. And the second one is we'll talk about what we want to talk about unless you change our mind about that. And all you got to do to change our mind is call 904-222-8255 or 222-TALK. And we put all callers to the head of the line, and we will discuss then what's on your mind. There are just so many reasons that people call financial radio shows, and there aren't enough of them that actually pick up the phone during the show. So take advantage of the fact that we're live. That's why we do it that way. It's a lot more fun, and you can play Stump the Band if you want to. But remember, no question is too simple, because your job as callers is to make us look as good as humanly possible, which means simple questions get simple answers. But there are people out there that don't know the same thing you don't know, believe me. So anyway, we like to talk about the market a lot more some weeks than others. This one was kind of just ho-hum, but it kind of ended with a thud. And I'm going to explain a little of that after Adam does the market wrap-up. But the word of the week was quadruple witching, easy for me to say. And I'll tell you what that means and what it portends after we sum up what's actually happened.
Yeah, it was started off as a really good week. We had a couple of nice days in a row, and then the Fed happened. In all fairness, I'm not sure that the Fed could have delivered a message that wouldn't have caused the market to go down. If they're too dovish, it says that the economy's bad. If they're too hawkish, it says that there's no winning.
Yeah, you can't
so
please the public.
Every time they open their mouth, the market gets shaken up, and that's what happened this week.
Reason number 547 to get rid of the Fed.
Yeah, it's really, we kind of have a running joke about it that every time the Fed speaks, there's usually a really bad down day and a really good up day. This week,
and you
there
never
was
know
just,
which.
Yeah, well, usually it's both.
Yeah, you get one after another.
We haven't seen the really good up day, but we did have two good up days leading into the Fed. So not entirely breaking the streak, but it's kind of annoying. It happens so often and so regularly that it gets frustrating. One area of the market that wasn't down this week was transports, which made a new 52-week high. That really is impressive because there are six airline stocks in there that are dragging it down. And if you look at the airlines, you know there's some upside there, but when will it happen? It hasn't happened yet. So that the fact that they made a new high despite a falling market and despite the airlines is pretty impressive. Many people still consider transports a leading indicator for the rest of the market, although that isn't as true as it used to be. In modern times, semiconductors are actually sort of the new transports, and unfortunately this group has not done nearly as well. It has fallen about 9% from its recent high just in the last few weeks. But it's heavily affected by the technology sector, so that has not been one of the better performing sectors, and it might just be getting dragged down by that. But really, the breakout in the semiconductor stocks has led the market higher in recent times, much more so than transports.
Yeah, look at the year-to-date on the NASDAQ, and you see it's going to take a lot of pulling back before this becomes even just an average year in the NASDAQ.
Yeah, the NASDAQ is still up over 20% this yep. year-to-date, so not really struggling that bad, just having some recent struggles. Despite the week being down overall, there was actually some sector and style rotation that benefited certain parts of the market. Growth stocks were generally down, while value stocks held up pretty well.
Hear that, all those Benway financial clients?
Yep.
We talk about the dividend stocks, which are the value stocks, a lot, and most of us hold a lot of it. Your door might be cracking open.
Yeah. Energy actually gained 3% to lead all sectors, which was somewhat surprising to me. Mm-hmm. Industrials and materials were both up as well. The biggest loser was communication services, followed by consumer discretionary and consumer staples, and then technology was just behind that. Globally, the Italian market was off 1.5%, while China gained 3.5%. Those were the biggest winners and losers. So not a ton of movement in the market this week, really. It was kind of flat overall. But commodities did have a really good week, thanks to a 7.5% increase in the price of oil. And then gold and silver traded modestly higher as well.
The underlines of a round of inflation are starting to slip under the crack in the door now.
Yep, very possibly.
It is inevitable that this is going to happen. It's just been very slow.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me at all. I'm sure you feel the same, that it's slow to come. You need demand to increase for inflation.
What's the number one commodity right now?
What do you mean, in terms of what?
Price increases and shortages.
I'm not sure.
It's lumber.
Oh, I didn't know.
And look at the housing market lately, and it's no surprise.
Yeah, that's true. Although there was some housing data that wasn't great this week, but you have to look into it.
Yeah, single family, that kind of thing, doing very well. Everything's up in that sector. It's just relative to maybe a month ago.
Right. Well, actually, the couple things fell this month, so mm-hmm. that was kind of surprising. But I'll get to that in a minute. The bond market drifted lower across the board. Everything was down modestly in the bond market. We've talked about it several times over the last month, but I really want to go into the value versus growth thing. It's been the longest streak on record of growth outperforming value. It sits at 11 months right now. 11 months in a row it's happened.
It's ridiculous.
That's very, very rare.
Yep.
In fact, I think you have to go back to somewhere in the early 2000s to find a time when the streak was that long.
Yeah, you usually get a couple of those changes a year minimum.
Right. So in this recent pullback, value has held up much better than growth, dropping less than 2% compared to growth stocks dropping about 9%. Major reversal in the trend, and but we don't know if it's here to stay. So we'll see at the end of the month if this breaks the 11-month streak.
Yeah, the people who chase that kind of thing, and there are a lot of advisors who do, and I'm sure there are a lot of just independent investors who also do, but the people who are chasing that all the time, this thing usually turns so frequently and so quickly that I don't recommend that, and we tend to use a blend approach on ours, although the older people, myself included, and among our clients, really, really like the concept of having dividend stocks, because at least you get something for it for your ownership. So it's always kind of a comfort to me. All right, we'll wrap up more of this when we get back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Benway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Benway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Benway.
And I'm Adam Benway.
And the lines are open, and the number is 904-222-8255. So give us a call anytime. I don't show a name.
That's all right. We have a call.
Good morning. What's your name?
Good morning. This is Greg. Good morning, Adam and Steve. How are you today?
Well, this is Greg of our old friend Greg.
Exactly. By the way,
yes.
I took a few hours last night, and I sat down and read your book cover to cover. I had several hours left over. You got to see it, folks. It's really, really good.
I'm glad to enjoy the read. I can't impress enough how short a read it is.
I was surprised when I came to the first page that had actual writing on it. My wife did the same thing, and we still had several hours left.
Yeah. That's okay, because we sent one to my mother-in-law, who's 94 years old. She lives in California, and she likes the way the book was set up. Now, she's a Democrat, and she liked all the fact that it was a kind book. And she said, oh, you left spaces in there for us to write in there, to take notes.
Did you send her the large print version?
That's funny.
Folks, you'll get this when you see the book.
Mm. Yeah, it's a great book. So, it was a project of ours, Joe Biden, A Comprehensive Plan for America. Mm-hmm. And it's been an unusual year with everything going on. So, we're just trying to help get the president reelected. And we thought this would be a fun way to do that. So, the book on the back of the cover says, we did all the research, so voters don't have to worry about doing any more research or watching more TV or anything like that. We've done all of that for
it. It's been thoroughly vetted.
We will. We actually have an extra copy, and if anyone wins the trivia today, I'll send it out with the gift card.
Hey, I'm going to give the trivia question soon here.
So. Yeah, there you go.
Right. So, what can we do for you?
Well, actually, I asked Greg to call today. I wanted to catch up his experience with the incubator over at UNF. And I know it was not affected positively by COVID, but I did want to see where you were at on that and how you were doing with your new company and your new product.
Well, we're as entrepreneurs, we keep moving forward, and we're no longer in that UNF program, but we have taken our idea, and we are now working with a company out of India to take our prototype and go through product development so that we can actually produce a product that is desirable and aesthetically beautiful for the shelves and in the pet stores, and also for online. But so we should have something in our hands in October, and so we're anxious to see what that looks like. So I know some people that we've talked to have wondered why we don't find fabrication here and manufacturing here in the United States, and honestly, we have looked and looked and looked, and there just isn't any companies in our country domestically that makes this kind of product anymore. Everything has been shipped overseas. All the machinery has been shipped overseas.
Crazy.
And so we had a choice between China and India, and I had already been developing my relationships with our Indian partner for the past 2 years.
Good.
And under no circumstances was I going to do any business with China. And we may eventually end up losing a lot of money with that decision, but until that country gets itself straightened out politically and in other ways, it doesn't make sense to have a relationship with a country like that.
Spoken like a true American.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have to be open-minded to all of our possibilities throughout the world, but what they unleashed, and this is my opinion now, what they unleashed on the rest of the world is unforgivable.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how our current administration, and hopefully Donald Trump will be reelected in November, but I'm not sure how our country will deal with this, because in the world, we have to deal with this, in my opinion, in a way that the lesson will be learned. You can't cause 600,000 worldwide deaths and cost trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in economic damage and do that.
And then skate.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
So But I think we're seeing some countries starting to stand up, and, you know, they're not allowing Huawei technologies right into their countries. That's a beginning. So let's hope it continues.
Well, and you're good. Doing your part good. By going to India instead of China.
Can you give us just a quick little background on what you're talking about? Because I know we get new viewers or listeners all the time, and I'm sure a lot of people missed it. And just a little quick rundown of what it is, how it got started. And it's all because of this thing that was going on downtown Jacksonville.
So I came up with a solution to that, a patentable solution, which it is patented, to repel insects on contact. So we decided to pursue that because, you know, we don't like using pesticides and sprays and toxic chemicals in the environment. So this was a alternative to that type of way of addressing insects coming into homes, buildings, hospitals, and things like that. We don't use any kind of sound waves or anything like that. I know there's a company out there that sells those kind of devices.
Right.
Yeah, ours is more of a direct on contact, so that when the insect is in contact with the device, it triggers a response. We had our prototype and our technology tested at the University of Florida Entomology and Nematode school in Gainesville, and they ran it through rigorous testing, which required us to reconfigure our device and our prototype. And once we did that, it came back that our product did as it was intended to do. So that was a major milestone since we last talked, since I was last on your show. So
cool. We
are now able to use that information and from the University of Florida in our marketing materials, and we're expanding into healthcare, in building construction, and in the pet industry, and a few other areas. So it's a slow grind. It's a very slow grind, but, you know, we're still moving forward, and we appreciate the time on your show to talk about this. This is great.
Great. Well, Rome wasn't built in a day, was it?
Good luck.
No,
good luck,
sir,
with your the prototype, and we'd love to see it when it gets here.
Really?
All right. Thank you, guys, and thank you for the show. It's always enjoyable.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you being there. Right.
Okay, and be sure to put notes in the book.
You got it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And we have another caller, and what is your name? Because my computer's just not working.
I am Zandor.
Okay.
No, I'm David. Yeah, I was interested in bonds. One thing, that previous caller, he was talking about some sort of a book praising Trump.
It doesn't really praise Trump in the book. It's sort of a Biden hit piece, and it's not verbose, shall we say.
Right, yeah. So, in other words, it's a distraction. Because isn't today 200,000 Americans will have died today from COVID?
That's correct.
200,000.
Yep.
And he still doesn't have a plan. They've asked him, and he says, well, it's coming. We got 2 weeks, so we're going to have it on the table. He said that about four or five times in the course of 5 months.
I have an
he
idea.
He still doesn't have a plan.
Tell it to someone else. I'm not going to listen to something that's purely political unless it has something to do with money, because this is a show about money. You cannot separate money and politics, because the politicians have more control over your money than anything. And I'm not going to listen to Democrat talking points, not just because I'm a conservative, but I wouldn't listen to the conservative talking points either unless they were related to somehow personal finance. So nice try. There are many other talk radio show hosts who would just love to hear that argument, which is just full of lies. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, moving on.
Yeah, moving right on. Okay, this week, we only have a minute, so I'm going to give out the trivia question in the last minute so that people on the second half can start talking about it. I'm going to explain this after the break, but it was quadruple witching day Friday, and that one, what that winds up doing is really, really cranking up the volume of stocks that are sold on the market. So, actually, the NASDAQ had an absolutely huge day at about 5.74 billion shares traded. How many times in the last 10 years have more NASDAQ shares traded than yesterday? How many individual sessions have been bigger in volume than yesterday? And it's not a huge number, I'll tell you, for 10 years of history. If you do that, you'll pick up a copy of Greg's book, unless you don't like the concept, and then we'll give you something else. Okay? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I suppose we shouldn't really go much further here without at least acknowledging what happened yesterday with the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And obviously it has great political significance, but that's not why I'm mentioning that, because she was actually a pretty remarkable person.
Absolutely.
When she went to Harvard Law, there were about 500 kids in the class, and seven of them were women.
That's insane.
Now it's over 50%.
Oh, way more. There's many, many more female lawyers graduating every day than there are men.
Yeah, and look at the number of women on the Supreme Court. So she definitely made a humongous impact on society. I just happen to disagree with her rulings, but that's not the point. So Adam wants to talk a little bit more about the market, and then I want to explain quadruple witching, but I'm going to remind everybody first that this is related to the quadruple witching. Yesterday was quad witching day, which means that all the options and futures and everything expire, so a lot of people are revamping all of their holdings, and especially index shares and all that. That I'll get to that. But it causes a tremendous volume surge, and you know what's going on in the market is very related to volume at any given time. It's been very light. It's always light in the summertime. But on a quad witching day, you might get a tremendous up day or a tremendous down day, because the sentiment that goes into the market in the morning is going to be basically kind of doubled. So the question is, how many times in the last 10 years has the volume on the NASDAQ exceeded yesterday's volume? Not a very large number.
No, not at all. All right. We're talking a little bit about economic data, and we saw some interesting housing data come out. We saw housing starts and building permits were released this week for last month, and they both missed expectations, which kind of bucks the trend in housing. Everything's been way off the charts to the good side.
Maybe that's why the expectations have been getting carried away.
There's a case of that for sure, but the really interesting thing is if you dig into both of those numbers, you would see that it's the tale of two different parts of the market, and what brought everything down was the multifamily units, but the single family was actually up. So everyone is buying houses. That's the long and short of it. I think Angela and Howard would probably agree with that sentiment. They were talking about it earlier today. But the single family part of the market just remains unusually strong, thanks to low interest rates and a little bit of demand from COVID. People moving out of multifamily units into single family units, I think, is driving a lot of it.
Yeah, and you couple that with the nationwide shortage of inventory of single family homes.
Right.
So it's driving the single family new market, because, hey, if you can't find one you like in some place you like, maybe you got to build it.
Yeah, and home builder sentiment remains really strong. And in fact, I think it just set an all-time high last month.
It's never been as high as 80. And last month it was 83.
Yep, pretty robust housing market right now, despite those two numbers looking kind of weak. In a normal month, a 0.6% growth in retail sales would be a huge number.
Yeah.
In this case, it actually missed expectations, and so it was sort of reported as bad news. But in reality, it was kind of mixed news inside the report. The expectation was for 1% growth. That would have been closer to the July number, which was very, very strong. Mm-hmm. But the good news was, if you dig in, 9 out of 13 sectors reported growth, with the largest being, not surprisingly, bars and restaurants as they continue to reopen. Mm-hmm. The biggest decline at over 5% was in sporting goods, and I could not for the life of me figure that one out.
It is a little odd, isn't it?
It is. It's kind of an anomaly, I guess. Nothing significant happened
No.
in that arena, but it was the largest drop by about 4%.
Well, they ran out of guns to sell.
Maybe. You can't find ammo right now either. No. So maybe that's
that
it.
That whole section of the store is losing business right now just because I can't get any inventory.
Yep. Jobless claims continue to trend downward, but at very high levels still. 860,000 this week, just missing the 850,000 expectation. Continuing claims are also drifting lower. Now they're down around 12.5 million. They were as high as they peaked out at almost 20, I believe.
So, a little over 20. There was a spike for one time that was about 23.
So at least 8.5 million people back to work that were temporarily unemployed by COVID. So that's good news, but it's not good enough. We really need to continue to get that number down by reopening.
But just see how
in a safe way.
Yeah, see how it's being reported by the anti-Trump media, of course. The economy is slowing. Well, no, people, the economy is growing. The growth in the economy is slowing. What do you expect when you take $600 out of everybody's pocket every week? That's going to happen. But it is not a slowing economy, people. It is a slower growing economy. Got to always consider the source.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about COVID. You might have noticed, if you follow it as closely as I do, you would have noticed that there was an uptick in cases this week. But it came after a pretty dramatic fall last week. It's actually a statistical anomaly. It's not a trend. The Labor Day holiday caused massive underreporting, and then now we're seeing a bounce as labs get caught up this week. So I would wait until next week to really look at the trend line, which overall has been very good lately. In fact, there's been a lot of anecdotal stories about how with schools reopening, there's all these breakouts, but we're really not seeing it in the data. And we had an interesting discussion last night. A local school actually has sent 70 kids and administrators home because if you show any signs of sickness right now, you have to send people home and then they have to get tested for COVID or they have to self-quarantine for 10 days. But they've sent over 70 people home from the school and not one of them has tested positive for COVID. Meanwhile,
well, unfortunately, it's that time of year where things happen.
Meanwhile, four kids that are in Duval homeroom from that school tested positive for COVID. Yeah.
With no symptoms?
No. They had symptoms.
Oh, okay.
But they are not in school. They're doing virtual school. So their only four cases at that school came from the Duval homeroom. So, pretty funny.
That is, it's a little bizarre.
Ironic, but everyone's fine. That's the important thing.
Good.
And the fact that that school has gone and had 70 illnesses and not one of them was COVID is pretty remarkable.
It is indeed.
So that was all I had for this week.
Okay, the actual definition of quadruple witching from Investopedia. Quad witching refers to a date on which stock index futures, stock index options, stock options, and single stock futures expire simultaneously. You've heard us talk to callers on and off over the past years about what options are, puts, calls, that kind of thing. Futures, where you buy a future contract. All they are is very legal contracts between you and whoever is writing the other one that you will either make money on or lose money on. It just depends what happens between now and expiration date. So they put a whole bunch of them out there, and they all expire four times a year. Not all of them four times, some only two. But when it's triple witching, there's three types. When it's quad witching, they all expire. That's what happened yesterday. It's the third Friday every quarter. And what that causes, because, as I mentioned, the people like the index share people, they have to reallocate, they have to sell some things and buy some things to get into the exact proportions that their fund is designed for based on the indices. And a lot of other shares trade because people are making money and losing money. If you own a call or a put or something like that and it's in the money, you're going to exercise that and take the money and run and then talk about doing it again. So just a lot of action on those days. And I've seen some really, really big up days and some really, really big down days. But I think you could logically argue that the down day we wound up with yesterday is exacerbated by the quad witching. I would take it more or less with a grain of salt. And in fact, the Dow only wound up down 8 points or 0% rounded down. So we did not have a week that is portending any problems. And in fact, despite September being the worst month historically, the interesting thing to me is that even in some of those really bad Septembers, the last 10 days can be really strong. And as that goes into October, it might start ramping up. And what you really want to look at is what happens starting in November. That's when the best 6 months of the market historically are coming to pass. And we got a big thing going on in the early part of November. This is going to just be a whole boatload of fun, folks. So, you know, sit down, make the popcorn, and get ready, because it's going to be quite a bumpy ride from here to the end of this year, I'll tell you. All right, we got to take another break, and then we've got some interesting things coming up on various topics. I'm not going to bore anybody with anything that's too deep today, because I just don't feel like it. It's going to be a little trivial day. That's fine. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the lines are open, 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Trivia question still out there. How many times in the last 10 years have more shares been traded on the NASDAQ than were traded yesterday? All right. We got a bunch of stuff that's kind of interesting. There's a company out there. They're involved in real estate. It's not the local one that you hear a lot about. It's a New York outfit. But they, I hate people who advertise these tremendous returns that are just totally outsized, and it really irritates me because they never tell you if it's a return of your money, a return on your money, how many off years they might have had. And, of course, you can't find out because you have to go to their website. Well, the new one is advertising 18 to 21% returns.
Oh,
folks, if I read that, I run hard. Good morning, and can we get your name for my – oh, sorry, Larry? Good morning, Larry?
Quick guess. I won't burn a lot of time.
No problem. Thanks.
Two.
Well, you are quick, aren't you? That's a little bit low. Unfortunately.
Okay, well, you never know.
No, you don't.
And it's a good guess.
This is not something that people should know. It's only there to make a point.
Can I make a quick statement?
But yeah. Of course.
Very quick. A lie repeated often enough becomes a truth.
You're absolutely right.
I don't know.
German math.
Larry, I don't know what you're referring to. But
no, I couldn't begin to guess.
I've got another one. I'll let you figure the author out. Better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven. And you know who said that.
He was
an engraver.
Larry,
y'all have a good one.
I got one for you before you run.
Okay, sure.
This is from Arnold Toynbee, not a name that's exactly a household word. The fall of a great nation is always a suicide.
Ooh, like that one.
I thought you might.
Pull the ripcord.
Exactly right. All right.
Okay, gentlemen, y'all have a prosperous. Hey, all I got to tell everybody is a lot of good buying opportunities, and if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen.
All great advice to me.
Okay, y'all take care.
Have a great weekend. Yeah, two is a little bit low. Good morning.
Hello? Oh, guess not.
Oh, there.
Oh, okay. Bob.
Good morning, Bob.
How you doing, guys? Thank you for being there, and thank you for being apolitical, you know, unless it's related to money. I really appreciate that.
You spend 6 days a week hearing nothing but politics. I try to keep it as minimal as humanly possible.
Well, we really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you telling us, too.
Yes, sir. And I'm a big fan of you guys, as you know.
Oh, great.
Bob from Ponte Vedra.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I want to take a guess at the trivia.
Please do.
I'm going to say five.
And why would you say five?
It's just a swag.
Oh, well, it was a darn good one.
In the pharmaceutical business where we had acronyms. Silly wild ass guess.
Yeah, you got it. Well, your swag was dead on. It was exactly five. And the interesting thing to me was that the first one, the latest one, was, you know, as far as time elapsed, June 3rd, 2020. So all five have occurred since June 2nd, and they are all above $5.7 billion share traded. So that's a pretty darn big money, a lot of money, I mean, that yesterday wow. changed a lot of things, but it didn't hurt us badly, and that's what I wanted really to didn't. Emphasize. So you can take a huge day like that where a lot of things are on the downside, and I think we can bounce right off of it Monday morning. But hey, just there a guess go. Like anybody there else's.
All right, well, hey, I've got a recent college graduate, and yeah. There are a lot of young kids that have graduated that are interested in investing. Can you, at some point, have a little bit of a talk about where they can go to learn about investments, you know, without being roped into a big brokerage house?
All right,
know,
I'm going to...
For educational purposes.
I'm gonna,
and I'll let you go. I don't want to tie
okay,
you guys up.
Okay, but I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get your address, although we've got it, but okay. We'll get it again. All right. Funny you should mention that, and I did not call him and prompt him. One of the calls today was a prompted call, but this one was not. But I just had last week a couple of younger people inquire to me exactly that question.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And the people that have been doing work around the house.
Oh, okay.
And I told them that, A, I don't ever mind answering their questions because they were feeling kind of guilty asking me advice about anything. I said, don't worry about it. Just ask away. I'll tell you what I know and I'll tell you what I think because I'm not reluctant to do that. But I told them both that I was going to start putting kind of a little, I wouldn't even call it a, well, I guess you'd call it a flyer. It's about 2.5 pages long, and it's in two parts. And one of them is about exactly what to do, and the other one is kind of a general topic. And I've got it. It's still in fairly rough form. I got good feedback from the originals, but I'm going to use that on the show soon. And it's all about, I don't know anything, but I know this. I've got to get started. I don't know where to go, and I don't know who to talk to, and all that stuff. So it's going to be very detailed, and it hits to the point absolutely precisely what Bob was just talking about. So how about that? Now, I'll say without hesitation, it will probably happen in the month of October. How's that?
That sounds good.
I knew it was a big thing for a lot of people because, let's face it, you don't get a course in high school anymore that allows you to balance a checkbook unless you go to a very unusual school. I have heard a couple people come in and say that their kids were studying how to balance a checkbook, and they're in the vast minority. So I think the more education we can get to the younger people, and the biggest thing here is, you know, when somebody's just getting started, you can't really expect to get an advisor on the hook who's going to spend too much time with an individual like that, because there's just no way to make enough money for the individual, but there's also no way that we can be of service to the value that we would have to charge. So the alternative to that is to have this kind of instruction sheet, go here and do this. And here's the parameters. If you're this age, if you're making this much money, if you've got a family or not. One of the basic premises is for the younger people, do not buy life insurance yet. And the yet is in there because you really don't need it yet. You're not insuring anybody of importance to you. But when you get married and or have children, then yes. But when you buy life insurance, don't buy it from a commission salesman. Buy it from an online term broker. That's just one tiny little section of what is now, as I said, about 2.5 pages. And I will have all of that. And assuming that it passes the good graces of everyone involved, we might be able to link to it on the website someday. So it'd be a good way to go to our website and say, okay, I'm getting started. Here I go.
I think it's a good plan.
I think so, too. You know, it was funny that they were independent inquiries, and they came the same week. So it's on people's mind. And that's a wonderful thing, because when you're starting to think about your future and the first number in your age is still a 2, you have no idea how much you're helping yourself. That is a big, big deal. So, good. I'm glad Bob called. I'm glad he got it right, and I'm very happy that he brought up the question.
There is one thing that I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
Despite the kind of gloomy weather, the event that I spoke about last week,
yes.
the run for our friend Joe, who was my son's friend, who unfortunately passed away of leukemia late last year, they're having an event. It is at Jarbo Park today. It starts at 1 o'clock. It's a walk to raise money for the Childhood Cancer Foundation. Really great cause. and for a really good family. And we hope if you're in the area and it's not, the weather isn't too bad, stop by and just say hi. We've got a few tables set up in Jarbo. You won't be able to miss us.
Wonderful. I like it. Well, here's a kind of a general knowledge question or general thought question. If you were going to conduct a survey, who would you conduct it among? That's the general topic. All right, the survey in this case is, do you expect to get your job back, or do you expect to hire your people back? In other words, what percentage of jobs that are currently lost might be gone permanently? And this poll found that it was half of all jobs are likely to be gone. You know who they asked? The people whose jobs were lost. Now, I think that might be just a little bit premature, because you should maybe talk to the employers, too. All right, right before we go, Social Security people, all of us, and I use that term inclusively, we had already reported there would be no COLA increase this year. There is someone out there now who is estimating it based on the most current numbers, and they are more or less speculating that we're going to get an increase of 1.3%. It's never announced just yet in the year, but it's coming soon. I will report back. But don't write it off in your mind as a total loss. That's the good news. Bad news is about Medicare. We'll talk about that later. All right, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week at the same time. This is the Bandley Financial Hour.